You might as well move there, Satch. I don't know. Guess, surprise, surprise, everybody. Guess where Sachin is? He's in Dubai. He's honestly, if what have you got a secret family? You got like a shake lover? Shake me out. Are you filming a TV show?
Are you shaking someone there?
Shake me off. Shake it off like Taylor Swift. What are you doing?
I don't know why you're surprised. I said this to you. Like, if you listened to last week's podcast, which you clearly have forgotten about, which we recorded 2 weeks ago, I said I was going to be here anyway. So,
no, I think you're going to be there.
I think Satch owns the Dubai chocolate factory.
Yeah. I'm saying, you know, like, I'd be suspicious. I mean, there's a lot of back and forth. There's a lot. So apparently all these, you know, these digital IDs might come on board and all that. Yeah. That would flag up now.
Know about that? Does Satch know about that?
Oh, you put it. Do you know about this? It's a big debate over here at the moment. Big thing.
Right, right.
That everyone could maybe get a digital ID on your phone.
No, I think it's happening. It's definitely happening now.
Is it definitely happening? I thought there's 2.5 million. I saw a petition. People saying the 2.5 million people that have said no, mate. We don't want it.
Yeah, but Liverpool fans are still petitioning about, you know, Champions League final as well. I mean, it doesn't mean anything. Do you know what I mean? It's fine.
To be fair, I have heard about it. And from what I heard about it, I heard it was going ahead.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, basically, if you were like now, let's just say, I don't know, if you were on benefits and then you went, they'd look at that on the digital ID, it would come up. Hold on. He's been in Dubai 15 times in the last 3 months. Right. Which I think is your average. And then they'd be like, no, mate, you're not getting the benefits now. So it all links up. So there's just kind of catch up to people that are up to no good. No, you're fine, obviously.
Are you basically saying that I'm on benefits?
I'm saying you don't try going on benefits. Don't try it because you won't get away with it now. It's too late.
Thanks for that information.
And sorry, I don't know. I'm going to quickly come up with like random things. I don't even know. I'm going to say it now if these things are true. But there was a thing that came up. It says, who's committing the most benefit fraud in the UK? It came up like, you know, like, did you know when these videos come up on TikTok, Instagram, and it's like, did you know the voice is a bit AI? And then I don't know whether those things are real or just made up. But it goes, who's committing the most benefit fraud? And it goes, number five, I might get this wrong. I'm just saying Pakistanis. They were in the list, right? Number four, Nigerians. Number three, like these people, this other group, right? And I think Indians were in there as well, right? But they're all like 2%. All those top five were 2%, 3%, 4%. It all added up to 15%. But it said, and 85% of all benefit fraud in the UK is being conducted by the Brits themselves. And I'm like, all right. So I'm like, everyone's thinking, oh yeah, the problem's other people. No. We got plenty of wrong-ins here. So well done. You're in Dubai and you're sunning it up. This must be a nice time to go.
Oh, it's summer. Lovely. Do you know what? So this morning I was walking to the gym at about half seven, quarter to eight. It was 31 degrees.
Perfect. Morning. That's perfect. So nice.
And do you know, it's pleasant. There was no one like on the road. Like, you know, it's just, it was that morning sun. It wasn't quite there.
Morning sun? Or not. That's what you say to people. Morning, sun, as you go past them. But also, I'm not just saying it. Kedge, look at his face. He looks clean. You look soft, bro.
Yeah, skin's cleared up.
Skin's clear.
Not because he's had a shave.
Yeah, the dadi's like this little, the little strip dadi. That's a new little style.
He's just got a new landing strip going on there.
Yeah. Is that a Brazilian?
Where are you landing?
Exactly. So something's going on there.
Right on that chin.
Oh, but actually,
but you know, we're having a bit of an Indian summer here as well. It's quite mild here as well. I went out for a run today, and it was like, you know, I thought maybe I need the skins on, but I didn't need it. It's really quite warm in the UK as well at the moment. So bit of an Indian summer. Highs of what is it? 17, 18 today, 18 next, 19 next couple of days.
We'll take that. On a practical level, I'm having a load of brick work done on my house, the extension and stuff like that. It's brick time. It's time to brick it with these costs coming through as well. But the brick time, so this is apparently, according to the brickies, this is good brick laying weather. So we're lucky. I need these next few days.
To be fair, I was checking out your bricks last time. Remember when I came round? I was like, oh, there's some good bricks, mate.
No, you said there's a bunch of bricks that are in... Oh, no. That was something different. Yeah, you're right. You were checking out my...
Kedge, you need to go and check out his bricks. They're good.
Okay. I'm not really one to get excited by bricks, but I can give it a go.
I think you'll appreciate them when you see them, because they're not your average bricks.
Well, they're a bit more rustic, but yeah, forget bricks. You're getting away from the Brits. You're not the only one, Satch, who's over in Dubai. I'm hearing more and more people in general, particularly apne, and I'm going to say apne of Desi variety, who are all just getting ready to up and move. It's real.
It's not just them. So my barber's Turkish Cypriot. He goes, I'm thinking of going back to Cyprus. The guy who came literally to service my boiler just before I left, again, guy from Cyprus, got all of his family in Cyprus. He goes, another couple of years, I'm going to move back there. All my family are there. He goes, I've had enough here. I'm just like, but bruv, like, this is all you know. So what do you mean? Where are you going?
That's the bit that kind of freaks me out. You think about the weather. I would love to live somewhere where there was nicer weather. I think the nicer weather makes a big difference to me. When I come out of the house and it's sunny, I'm definitely a different person to when it's rainy, cold, sideways rain, all that. I feel the cold quickly, you know, all those things. But the conversations are very real about people looking into property, looking into schools, looking into moving their kids. Even like this weekend, there was a massive comedy festival on in Saudi. And I know a few comedians are over there. And they're basically saying, this is the life. We are looked after. It's safe. They're not even Muslim, but they're like, we could live this life. We could live under, because we know Saudi's a bit strict and a bit hardcore. Hey, if you're good enough to hide,
See, I mean, it makes you think, like, you know, where would you go? If we had to leave tomorrow, they say, you know, it happened in obviously, like, you know, places where our parents are from, Kedge, like, you know, East Africa and Kenya and other places and other, they had to leave. And if, I don't know, I'm not going to say that, you know, we're ever going to have to leave, but.
You might be.
But where would you go?
Oh, well. I think I might do the I think the Saudi Dubai UAE thing has got to be the first calling.
I don't think that's you though, Tommy. I don't think that's you.
I agree. The fact is, I would love to live in like Texas or Colorado and have a bit of acreage.
Oh my! This guy is going from where we are to somewhere worse.
No, that's what I'm saying. No, if you talk about like the kind of like I like American culture. How it was. I like basketball. I like hip hop. I like big cars. I like big roads. Yeah, I like diners. Like I like either. Burgers. So that all. Sorry, say that again.
It's not even like that anymore, though. Over there.
No, that's what I'm saying. So I'm saying that's. So where would I go? I know where you'd go, Kedge. That's for sure.
Oh, see that. That's the only brother that I couldn't think of when I thought about the three of us. I was like, mine's pretty easy. Tommy's, I could guess, but Kedge, I think he'd stay.
Nah. Oh, yeah, he'd probably fit in with it. He'd be that guy in a Union Jack.
I don't really mind it here that much.
Yeah. See what I mean? He's saying, yeah, you know, we're making Britain, you know, how we want it again and stuff.
I'm going to be here uniting the kingdom.
I mean, Kedge has been doing this for a while anyway. Since he's started working at Virgin, he's ditched us anyway, Tommy.
So. Yeah, definitely.
The TV shows he watches, the things he says, the foods he eats.
Yeah,
the algorithms have changed.
The algorithm on his Instagram. Do you see what I mean? Yeah. He looks down at the two of us.
Yeah, absolutely. He secretly kept in touch with all of his Gordo friends, Kevin and Michael and Darren and Dave.
If I had to go anywhere, it would be.
Can I guess it first?
Go on.
Because Australia.
No.
Australia.
I can see you going Australia because I think you'd be out there on the beach, kind of a bit active lifestyle.
Outside of it, but I think I could get that just like somewhere nicer in Europe. I'll be happy in Europe.
Would you go back to France?
Yeah, Paris. I mean, Paris was like, it was definitely on the cards. Wow. I could live in Paris. It was absolutely no problem at all.
Can you imagine? Proper fluent Gujarati French guy, like
that is weird.
That's minority. You'd be a rarity.
Europe, but you know, I mean, then you go, then it's like, well, then you, the thing is, like, all these places look nice. Then you know what? When you stay there, ain't all that, mate.
Nah, it's always the case. But that's like with everything. On a fleeting visit, Logan goes, we want to go Australia. He wants to go Australia. He goes, I think Milo's like, I just want. He wants a farm. So everybody wants their own.
Fully? He wants to leave and just go Australia?
Yeah, but I said, mate, I said, before you decide where you're going to live, maybe visit it. Maybe, you know, because we've never been.
Yeah.
So
he's been watching that TV show, Going Down Under or something on BBC One. It comes
going.
I hope he's not watching that show.
I hope he's not watching that.
No, I'm sure that it's called that. It's on BBC One. Going Down Under. Big
Down Under.
Something like that. I don't know.
But I don't trust any nation. I think maybe we'd have to. I just hope. Well,
the reason why we might have to go is because did you see that there was they revealed that basically by the time the next election comes round, Farage is probably odds on to win it. He probably is going to be our next prime minister, which tells you the state of the country that we're in at the moment.
Yeah, but that not necessarily the state. I think it tells you maybe if he really is odds on favourite, because I don't really believe the polls and all that kind of rubbish. But if he really is odds on favourite,
that's what we thought when we were doing the whole Brexit thing.
Yeah.
It's more than really. It tells you where the state of people are and what they think is the cause of their problem. Because the problem with Brexit for me, in a nutshell, was that the cause of the problem was not people coming over and supposedly taking their jobs from Europe and all that. There was, you know, we're more doubly screwed now. But people bought into a certain narrative and, you know, all these things are going to happen. All this change is going to happen when we separate from Europe, separate from the European Union. But same thing with this. Like you said, but I'm just laughing because I'm thinking of Kedge. Kedge is actually a bit like all those uncles. And there are some serious uncles out there. Like older than me, like in their 70s, who were like, yeah, roll on Farage, bring him in. We don't want any more. Huh? I can imagine you being, you're not going to say that now. but I think that's where you're going. Deep down.
No.
When he's in the voting booth and he's got to put cross in.
Yeah.
He's got to do it.
And if the Farage cross means there are fewer annoying, fresh type people from whatever part of the world coming over, I think Kedge will go, yeah, I don't think that's a bad thing. I'm all right with that.
I don't mind that. You've got to get into the etiquette of the country. That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, speaking full blast loud on the mobile phone, you know, little things like that. You've got to behave.
All right. You've just said that, you know, the mobile phone thing. I had a situation on the aeroplane again on the way here, as always. And the whole flight.
Yeah, we haven't had any aeroplane stories from you in a while.
I'm going to bring it to you. So the whole flight was packed from Gatwick. I left on a Monday night and I thought, who's going to fly on a Monday night? It's going to be empty. Got to the airport. Dead. Completely packed. There's not a single seat. So then I get on the flight. I'm sat in the four in the middle, but I'm in the aisle because I like an aisle seat. And the whole, you know, the one chair thing, Tommy, didn't happen because there was just no seats.
No seats.
So then in front of me, there was an Indian family. So the two parents sat on the end of the four.
Either side.
They had their two kids in the middle.
Kids in the middle. Yeah.
So now, you know, planes taking off at night.
Yeah.
Kids are falling asleep, not strapped in, and they're like laying head to toe in the two middle seats, basically. Yeah. And the stewardess came over, bless her, maybe about five times. Can you please wake them up and sit them up and strap them in? Blah 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 blah.
Why?
No one gives a shit. What do you mean?
You need to put seatbelts on.
Once the plane's in the air, it's fine, isn't it?
No, yeah, but we haven't even taken off, bruv. We're still on.
Okay.
Like, you know, they're doing their final checks and stuff as everyone put their belt on. The lady's just, you know, Indian lady in front of me, just don't give a shit. Two kids are sleeping, you know, like, we'll leave them like that while the plane takes off, because that's safe. And then she must have come over about the sixth time and she switched on them. And I was just like, I was kind of looking around like, what is going on? I had my headphones on.
The stewardess switched on them.
And she was just like, I'm sorry, man, but like, you need to sort this out. We can't take off if your kids are lying on the... And you know, it was just very slack, like, oh, okay, then I'll do it.
Yeah.
You know, it just really pissed me off. And I was just like, there you go. That's a prime example of they're brown and in front of me, in the row in front of me. Now I'm sat behind them. Number one, they're going to think I'm with them. And, you know, I'm just as bad. And I just thought, you know what?
You were the uncle.
I'm the uncle. And it just made me think, you know what? You just let everybody down. And do you know what? The same thing happened when we landed. They were sleeping, didn't wake them up. And, you know, the lady switched on them again to strap them in for landing. And I just thought, didn't you learn?
While we're at that, can I just say, I think Asian people on a plane with kids are a different breed.
I love that. Because, no, hold on, let me just say, I'm looking at you two in split screen. Kedge went with different breed, right? Breed as well, which is not the best kind of connotation to get. And Sash just straight in went, arseholes. Arseholes. That's what they are. Yeah, okay.
I don't know why, but I'm with Sash. I don't know why, but I don't know what happens to Asian parents and kids on a plane. It's like they just, it's like, why does everything switch off? Why do you not care about your kid is running around in the middle of the aisle, you know, just gemmed them, like doing dumb stuff. Yeah. The plane's about to take off. Just manage this situation. Why are you relying on and hoping that there's another auntie, an uncle, a granddad who's going to start playing with your kids and look after your kids for you? Why do they do that?
It was so annoying.
And no other rules matter to them as well. Like what Satch is saying. Don't strap them in.
Don't strap them in.
And then they want to jump around on the seats and everything. Don't tell them off. And the parents who don't tell their kids off, my God. Can't be dealing with that.
Yeah, I was, and do you know what? I got so angry. Like at one point, a pillow, like the mum's pillow, fell on the floor, and I booted it down the aisle because I just pissed off.
I would have done that.
Legit, it was like if someone filmed it, a pillow went up in the air and came back down.
Yeah, brilliant. Slow motion. No, okay. So I'm just thinking as you're saying it, I'm going. So when did all these things start kind of coming about? When did this change happen? And I think it's a generational thing because our parents came here and they instilled in us like head down, join in, get on with it. Yeah, we were there. Kumbaya, my lord, would you walk by on the other side when starving children cried?
That's my favourite song.
Song. Right, all of that. And it's funny because I said to Milo, hey, Milo, how come you don't sing the hymns and stuff? Do you know the hymns? And I go, do you sing in an assembly? And they went, no. They go, but we have a special chapel session and they do it there. I'm like, right, okay. So I'm like, good. I said, get into those. They're good songs. And it's a good message, actually. It's helping people and all that. It's universal. But anyway, but I think it's a generational thing. That generation that came over, our parents, which is kind of passed on to us, we joined in and we didn't bend the rules. Is these the rules? These are the rules? Okay, let's stay within the rules and get it done.
Yeah.
Now, I think the new generation of people coming into the country, they're going to go, these are rules? So can I get away with this? Like, no.
Yeah.
Can I get away with this? What can I get away with? There's a what can I get away with generation of chances. Whereas we were just scared. Like, no, don't break the rules.
I'll be honest with you, I'm still scared.
You're still scared.
and you should be. They're going to kick us out.
Man's like 40-something years old. He's still scared.
I'll be honest. I'm still scared. it's just silly little things. Like, for everything from litter. Okay, so today.
Kedge thinks one day he's going to go to the airport and leave the country. They'll just take his passport off him and say, get on the plane.
Yeah, it's true.
He ain't coming back.
And, you know, on the digital IDs, picked up, old Kedge, dropped litter 15 times. He doesn't love this country. So today, like Logan goes to me. I always take him a banana after school because they're always hungry and they come out of school and I don't want him eating rubbish. So I gave him a banana and he went, can I throw the skin on the floor? I said, just wait, there's a bin coming up. We'll put it in the bin. He goes, but it doesn't matter because I always say that apple skin and all that we were talking about, say, it biodegrades. So he goes, it biodegrades. I said, yeah, I know. He goes, so it's fine. I went, yeah, I know, but still, it's not nice just to throw a banana skin. Right? No. I said, so just wait forever. So things like that, I think that is us caring about this country. I don't want to see a banana skin on the floor when there's a bin 30, 40 yards up, and it's fine. So, but I think, dare I say it, someone maybe with a new version of mentality towards the country that would just just lob it, screw it. And that's why, and that's what Farage wants. Farage wants everyone. So Farage, if you're listening, we like it here, and we're joining in, and we're playing nicely with everyone.
He likes here so much that he went to celebrate Oktoberfest in Germany, though.
Oh man, that was unbelievable.
Could you move there, Tommy?
Well, didn't they say isn't Farage's girlfriend or Farage's roots German? They said that he's the kind of son of immigrants, or his wife, or his girlfriend is. Oh. The daughter of immigrants or whatever. But okay, so Let me just quickly explain about Oktoberfest. For anybody who maybe doesn't know, it's a beer festival that takes place in Munich, Germany, every year. Actually, it's not in October. It starts on September the 20th, and it runs to the middle of October. Now, I first heard about Oktoberfest like 20-odd years ago when someone mentioned it. And I thought, okay, yeah, cool, we should go. And someone said it's a lot of fun. And then we went to a couple of Oktoberfest things in London. There was one in Fulham I went to about 10 years ago. And there was one in Canary Wharf. Like, they just have the big tent. And it's literally just benches of people sitting around drinking beer, live band, and very lagery, and meat and potatoes and snacks and cheese was on the menu. Well, when I got to Munich, this was like the Rio Carnival of Oktoberfest. Forget the ones in any tents in Fulham and Docklands. This was about, I was working out, about 250,000 people were there that day in this half a mile, 1 mile radius area where the main Oktoberfest is. There's loads of giant, giant tent structures. They look like tents, but they're actually proper buildings that hold about 12,000-15,000 people. There's about 8 of those. Then there's loads of other pubs. Then every pub is taken over with Oktoberfest. Everyone's dressed up. All the men are in those lederhosen kind of dungaree things. The women are in these kind of corset-y dresses. I'm going to be honest, boobs all pushed up. That's what it does. Pushing them up, pulls the waist in. And, you know, I'm talking old and young, from 20-odd year olds to
70-year-olds. Yeah, I was going to say, was that your
outfit?
That's
just your outfit.
Oh, you know what, bro? Afterwards, because I did not enjoy wearing lederhosen, because I thought I should have just dressed up fancy dressing the women's outfit. At least I would have got a bit of hover to my chest. But there are all these people. So loads of people walking around, loads of waffle places and snacks and all that kind of stuff going on. And the food was just great everywhere, like chips, and it's carbs and meat and cheese. Great. But then when we went into the tent, we had our little area. We had that from 4 o'clock till 11 o'clock at night. It was only me and my one mate, Amajit, right? 4 till 11, you go in, you go to these benches, you sit down, and there's thousands and thousands of people that have been drinking all day in the tent. They're bringing over these steins of beer, which is I think it's a litre, it's 2.5 pints of beer you drink at any one time. Again, they're carrying them all around. You've seen the pictures, you must have seen the videos of them carrying like 8, 9, 10 pints, all stuff. They were doing all of that.
Carries them all like that, and then stacks it.
They were carrying like trays of food, like the size of a Sabutio table, if you remember that, with plates of food on there, weaving through the crowd. Bro, there wasn't one fight. There wasn't one bit of trouble. There wasn't one broken glass. I didn't hear a glass break. I did not hear a plate of food drop. The music they were playing, it was everything from Oasis, Robbie Williams, Freed From Desire, Minor Sense, Purified and Freed From Desire, and all that, all of that, sing-along, anthem, fun stuff. The atmosphere is just joyous. It's a joy. Yeah. Joy, joy, joy. Everywhere you look, happy people, lovely people. I met a guy who was head of innovation for a beer company. He was making new beer brands. Some other guy who had retired because he sold his company a few years ago. It was just cool people. I'm telling you, please.
Did you meet any characters?
Huh?
Did you meet any characters?
Oh,
you must have met a couple of characters.
Loads of characters. I mean, there was literally characters are everywhere. People that are quirky because you've got the Dutch, Germans, Americans, very few Asians. There was two Asian guys I saw there, and one of them pointed at me and he went, "You're Tommy Sandu." And I went, "Yeah, but I'm a bit drunk right now, so maybe that's not the best conversation gonna get me." But that was it. We kind of went, "Oh man," he even said, "I love the fact that it's not filled with Asians here." And I said it'd be a different story. But that was it, honestly, just awesome. I would seriously say Satch would hate it, because we are in like shoulder to shoulder, nose to nose, bum to bum, back to back with people all around.
Yeah, drinking. No, it's not a Satch vibe at all.
No,
but Kedge,
not me.
You would have loved it. Please allow me to take you next year. I'm going to book it for you. I'm going to book your flight. It'll be my look. Because honestly, of all the people I know on the planet, Kedge, it's perfect for you. Because you don't need to drink. I didn't drink loads. How many of those blooming 2.5 pint things can you drink? I drank about 4.
I do love it. I do love those jugs of beer in Germany. I do love it.
And they're thick. They're like double glazing. So that's they are tankers. Yeah. They're the big old thing. But actually, talking about characters, there was a little incident, because it started on the Saturday, the 20th of September. We went on the Friday morning, the 19th. So we just went to a couple of bars and pubs. And then we said, I said, you know what? It's only me and you, much of my mate. I said, let's go to a club. I've not been to a club in ages. Let's just join in on the club. Right? Because I just thought, because there was a club near us, quite near, about a mile walk from the hotel. And it was on it had five rooms. Party room, house room, R&B room. And I thought, oh, man, I've been saying to everybody, why don't they bring back clubs where you get multiple rooms like that? And then I did a bit of Google search. And they said, yeah, it'll be packed. Thousands and thousands of people. I was like, good. So it won't be dead and all that. Went to the club. Obviously, like an idiot, got there for about 11 o'clock. It didn't get busy until about 12:30, 1. And it goes until 7. But we left by 1:30. I mean, I was done.
No one was in there.
No, it was filling up. It was filling up. But actually, if I'm really honest, it filled up with very young people. So we just felt a bit stupid and just left.
I went to a club the other day in Dubai.
Yeah. In Dubai.
How was it?
Not like me. I wasn't DJing. And I just went.
Yeah,
to be
fair. Like you that.
Do you know how long I lasted in the club?
Yeah.
About 45 minutes. We left.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
I wanted to get into it. And I'll be honest, my mate Amajit, he's a bit of a miserable shit sometimes. And he was in a bit of a miserable, and he was like, this is weird. Like, it's just, there's like, you know, 18 to 24 year olds here. Mm. And we're like, but they're playing old school R&B. So I'm like, oh, man, I just want to.
Yeah, see, I only went to the event.
Yeah, but
like,
if you stand in the corner and just have a little. It's
a little bop and a boogie. Yeah, that's what I wanted to do. But he wasn't in the mood. And then we were tired. And it was just all too much. But actually, I'll tell you what happened. It was weird. Because obviously what I realise now, these young guys, they're quite hench. You know, these kind of 22, 24, 25-year-old guys. They're all going gym. They're all buff. One guy, how about this for random? Come up, tap me on the shoulder. And if I'm honest, we stood out. We stood out as older guys, right? So I was like, that's what I'm making me feel uncomfortable. Tap me on the shoulder. And he goes, and he said something. I went, I'm English. And he went, you and me, arm wrestle. Right? And his mates were all around him. And his mates were going, yeah. He was German.
You didn't hear that correct. He said mud wrestle.
Oh, yeah. What? What did you say? He goes, and because there was like these, those kind of high tables that you could just stand around, you put your drink on, you know, like they'd come up to you. Like, so there poser was like a table. Good, podium table, that's it.
Poser table.
Poser or podium?
Poser table.
Oh, yeah, a bit of that as well. But it's just like a little round, it's like, you know, like a round table. And he went, right, me and you do it. And then I'm like, what do I do in this situation? I go, no, what are you talking about? So he goes, and his mates go, come on. And they were laughing. So it wasn't like, it wasn't like it was a serious thing. I think he thought, there's a big older guy, go on to the cocky guy in the group, go and take him out, go and beat him at arm wrestling. Now, what you need to know is, when have you ever seen me arm wrestle? When have you even heard me talk about arm wrestling? I don't do things like this.
Did you go through with it then?
Of course I went through with it, right? I don't do arm wrestling, and I don't do like macho, like, you know, some guys when they get drunk, they're like, ooh, press up competition. I think that's so lame. I've been raised by sisters. I don't do dick things like that. But now, because they were younger and they're all hyped up, I go, okay, cool. Let's go. Let's go and cone it, right? And then the guy would go, right, you can hold the table with your left hand, you know, with your other hand. And I went, I'm actually left-handed, but don't worry, we'll go right. And I'm looking at him, he's a musty guy. Can I be honest? As soon as it started, I looked at him and he's straining. And he went, and he looked around his mates, he goes, there's no way I'm going to beat this guy. And I was really quite chuffed with myself because I don't do arm wrestling, and I thought this guy's going to absolutely batter me. And I was getting ready to always let him win so that I didn't sprain my arm or my shoulder or do something stupid to me and probably get cramped. Yeah. Or I thought I might get cramp in my back or something like that. I did feel a little bit of cramp coming on, like weirdly in my inner thigh from straining at the table.
Your inner thigh?
I don't know why. Wow. But what I mean is, I went, oh, let's do left hand as well. And then we did. So I beat him on both arms. And he went, oh, you're a strong guy. But actually, in my head, I'm going to say this now, he wasn't that strong. And he was quite buff. And I was quite proud.
Sorry,
went to Germany, represented Punjab.
How old are we again? What are we doing? Arm wrestling in a... I remember going to a club and someone started doing press-ups in a club.
Yeah.
And that was BBC Asia. That was the BBC Asia Network night.
I was going to say that. So there's some people who would normally be quite cool, but as soon as you enter, yeah, let me show everybody now at 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, how many press-ups I can do. It's hilarious.
I'm sorry.
It's so embarrassing.
You're a knobhead.
What would you have done? Would you, okay, so a guy comes up and goes, hey, bro, and he's young. He's 22, 23, 24 years old, whatever. And he goes, me and you arm wrestle. Satch, what would you do?
Shut up, mate. Get out of my face.
Wow.
Move.
Okay.
Move.
Cage?
I wouldn't even bother engaging with that. I'll be like, sorry. I don't understand. What an idiot. Like, why would you do that?
Get out of here.
Yeah, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
But Tommy likes doing that. Like, you know, Tommy likes to get involved in all of that kind of stuff.
I just wanted to get... I didn't want to just go, no, because I felt like that's a bit of a vibe killer. And I didn't think it was them really being sort of threatening or like, you know...
It didn't seem like you were having much of a night anyway. I mean,
no, exactly. So that
this was probably the best bit of it, the fact that you beat him.
That's the best bit of action I got. Oktoberfest is amazing.
While you guys have been gallivanting, obviously Kedge has been looking after London town and then making sure that everyone is, you know, sort of not painting any dodgy things on roundabouts or anything like that.
Flags.
But, I had a bit of a dilemma the other day when I was on the train and I was getting off. I was getting off at Bushey Station, and if anyone knows it, there's a, as you get off the, to get down from the platform, you got to, there's a stairwell that you have to get down to then leave the station, right?
I thought you were going to say you have to cross across the line and, you know, jump over the other
there's
side.
There's a rope. There's a hole in the fence.
That's how we do it in India.
So as I was getting off the train, there was a slight delay on one of the other doors of people coming out. So, oh, that's weird. But what it was, there was a man with a pram just taking his time coming off the thing. He was a man on his own and he had a baby in the pram.
Right.
I looked at it and I thought, all right, cool. Nice. Now, I know that within a few hundred yards is the staircase.
Right.
Yeah.
Right? Now, in the past, every time if there's a woman who's come off the train, I'll go, oh, she might not know, but there's some stairs coming up. So I'll walk with her and then I'll offer to help her down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I saw the man,
nice thing to do.
When I saw the man, I kind of went, oh, it's a man. I carried on walking.
Left him to it.
And I left him to it. Then I got down the stairs and I thought, that's not very nice of you, Kedge, is it? Because you're supposed to be all like equal and we should. But it's weird how our brains are wired to think, well, if it's a man with a pushchair, he'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But do you know what I mean? And then I had this massive dilemma and then I was walking and I was like, oh my God, Kedge. I felt so awkward that I just walked past assuming he was going to be all right because he's a man.
Sorry. And actually, physically, like, what was he? Was he built like you? Was he built like me or Satch?
No, it's normal. Not me. Just normal.
You're normal. Normal build. You could.
Yeah.
Medium build.
Athletic.
Did he look capable? Did he look capable?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But then, that's why you didn't ask him.
But out of you two, I wouldn't say that neither of you are incapable of taking a pram down. Like, what I'm trying to say is, if you look at a man, you're going to think they're capable.
Yeah.
But it's weird how we are wired in a, like, would you have done it? Would you have waited for him and helped him down?
I don't know. I think I would have got, you know, if I was behind him and I could see him struggling, then I'd be like, oh, you need a hand, mate. But like, you know, like,
I didn't even wait. I walked, I saw him, but I carried on walking. So I was in front of him. So I didn't even wait to see how he did. Is what I'm trying to say. Like, normally I would have waited for the female to know that, you know, because obviously there's not that many people getting off the train, and I would have waited. But this, I saw him and I didn't wait. I just carried on walking because I thought it's a bloke with a pram. He'll figure it out.
He'll figure it out. It's not a complex task.
It's bad, isn't it? It's bad. I don't know why I did that.
Do you know how he figured it out? He pushed it down the stairs.
Because also we're kind of built in a way that you think, well, you shouldn't really, you know, go up to a man and go, do you want a hand with that? Because it's, you know, you're insulting his manliness.
Maybe. So I was thinking back to like when I'd be on the tubes with Milo or Logan in a pram and people would ask me for help. But because I had my wife there, she would carry the front of the pram or the back of the pram, whichever way around it was. Yeah. So, but when I'm on my own, when they were young, you could just about pick the whole pram up, sort of put it on one side of your hip and then go down. But that's a bit precarious because, you know, a little slip and you are a goner. What I found quite funny was I saw this really muscly guy with his suitcase and he was fine. He was reading it along, and he got to the bottom of the stairs, and I tapped him on his shoulder. I went, "Do you need a hand?" He was three times the size of me, right? And he just looked at me and he went, "No," like dead. He didn't get it. And
I went, "I'm joking, bro.
I'm joking. Yeah. I'm joking." And I walked off. But I think
Kedge was worried, because if he asked the man, he would have asked him for an arm wrestle and Kedge would have lost.
Yeah, exactly. What if he asked me for an arm wrestle? Then I'm stuffed.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's get on to the more important thing. And I actually went and did it, because as soon as I saw the advert from Domino's, the masala paneer pizza, I thought, this has got to be done.
So Domino's have released an actual pizza with paneer on it, is what you're saying?
Absolutely. So they've got two. They've got two.
Is this national, or is it just in your freshie area?
No, is national, bro.
So can I, if you don't mind me saying, I'm going to rewind you and remind you, when I hosted Domino's event, it was in Wales. I remember it being in Cardiff. And he told me there, because I said to him, I said, look, there's a guy who basically is a franchisee, and he owns about like 150 Domino's. So he has a big brand, and then he had the heads of Domino's and that, people down. And that's what, and I said to him about my chutneys, which, by the way, I know I keep saying it, is coming back soon.
Hey, watch this
space. But lots of logisticky stuff in the background I have to sort out. But I told him about that, and he goes, we've got a paneer pizza coming soon. But I didn't know it was out. I haven't seen the advert. So you saw the advert and then you got it, or you were in Domino's and you saw it advertised there?
No, I saw the advert. It's the ultimate Indian feast. It's a good advert. It's like it's not your usual Bhangra kind of tune or anything like that, but it's slightly desi. And it's basically saying that it has dropped something spicy, cheesy, and absolutely outrageous. And we're not talking about our group chat. Say hello to the ultimate Indian feast, a limited edition lineup that's basically what happens when your favorite Indian takeaway crashes a pizza party. Three dishes on offer. They've got the ultimate gunpowder chicken pizza. Yeah?
Okay.
I think you guys are going to like that. So it's Indian spiced pulled chicken.
Gunpowder is not really is it an Indian taste?
You get like gunpowder paneer, gunpowder. Gunpowder is quite the thing.
I've had gunpowder prawns as well, I think.
Yeah, gunpowder, idli, the masala.
What are you trying to say? We all hang around with guns. Where did that come from?
No, it's fiery. It's a fiery thing. They've got the ultimate masala paneer.
That makes no sense. Gunpowder.
Yeah, because it's going to blow your backside off.
It's Guy Fawkes.
And they've got the gunpowder chicken wings.
Gunpowder chicken wings.
Yeah.
Okay, have you ever? I'm just gonna. What Indian dish have you had that's gunpowder? Like, and don't say nothing.
No,
nothing at the shoe. I'm talking about at home. What's your mum made gunpowder, Kedge?
Yeah. Mum's like,
we just don't call it gunpowder.
No, that's what I mean, because it doesn't exist.
Yeah, but it burns your backside, doesn't it? That's the problem. That's the thing. It rips you another one. That's the problem.
That is such a chat shit. Yeah, gunpowder.
Yeah, gunpowder. You do pad out of it, but not powder. So, powder. What are the three then? So you got wings, chicken pizza.
So you got the gunpowder chicken pizza, the ultimate masala paneer, and then the gunpowder chicken wings. And nice. I'll tell you what. Do you remember there was that time when what was it? Pizza Express did the paneer pizza.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
No.
But it was a little bit gorified in the sense that it had like. What did it have in it? It had the mint chutney in it, the yogurt chutney.
Yeah, I remember that.
And a mango chutney as well. This one, they've just, if anyone went to Mumbai sort of like mid-2000s and was eating a Pizza Hut in Mumbai, and you would get the paneer, spicy tikka paneer pizza, this is exactly like that. It's hot, the green chilies on it are fiery, the paneer is soft, it's flavoursome, it's so good. I couldn't believe I was smashing through this large pizza by myself.
Fantastic. You know what?
It's a goer.
I'm glad to hear
exactly,
it.
Exactly.
I'm glad because you would have definitely been the first to kind of go, like, get some. Do you think they've got someone desi behind it?
They've definitely got some desi influence on this, because this tastes very desi, and it's not, there's no gimmicks to it. It's exactly what, and I want you to try the chicken and see what that's like, but it exactly does what it says on the tin.
Ooh, brilliant. And from you talking about pizza there, do you know what? I tried the pizza the other day. I'm trying to find a picture of it because I took it and I wanted to send it to you. Yeah. It was from Papa John's, and it's something that, I saw on the advert and you can only get it in Dubai at the moment. I thought, let's try this.
Oh, here we go.
With a croissant, base.
Oh my God.
What's that? What's that? A pizza with a croissant base?
Yeah, and the crust, look, it's all croissant.
The crust is a croissant, basically.
I don't know what's going on.
But is it filled? Is it? But does it all fall apart? Can you explain the texture?
It still had the same consistency. So the bottom was like a bit harder, and then the crust was full on croissant, like as if you have a croissant in the morning.
And that's why there are paratha pizzas as well, which is because a paratha is quite similar to the croissant, a proper buttery one. But I've often made pastry pizzas because I get the rolled up pastry when I make pies. You roll that out a little bit thinner, so it doesn't. And top it up.
And it was very similar to that, Tommy. And it was okay. I still think what it is when you're expecting pizza, you know pizza's got to taste a certain way. Do you know what I mean? And when it doesn't have that texture, you're just a bit like, that's not pizza. It was good, but it just wasn't.
So pizza. it's just got a croissant side, Randy. That's it. That's the gimmick, isn't it?
No, and the base was a bit flaky, like at the bottom. Okay. Do you know what I mean? But it still had a bit of a base.
Have you had the prêt à manger? Pastry with cheese and tomato in it.
That's nice.
It's a bit dear. I think it's like £3.75 for like this little slice.
It's an expensive one, but it's good if you're hanging.
But yes, absolutely. It's a real, or even if you're feeling a bit unwell, like I had a bit of a cold this week. That cheesy, tomato-y company. There is one that they do with bacon. That's pretty good too. But
I always get that when I'm at the airport for an early morning flight. That just does you. That's it.
Yeah. They also do a nice little mini egg mayonnaise baguette. I love egg mayonnaise. I think I've said this before, but...
So obviously, you know, at the moment I'm veggie because Navratri's still going on. It seems like it's never ended.
When this podcast comes out...
It'll be finished.
It'll be done. But, since last Monday I've been veggie. And you know, Kej, I think you'll be proud of me because, you know, since I've kind of got to Dubai... Mm. I'm really enjoying, like, because the Indian food out here tastes like India. So any food I'm getting, and I think I'm not even joking. Last week, this is the most Indian food I've ever eaten in my life.
Wow, that's changing.
I'm not this guy. I think we got Indian food about 3 times in the week, and I just
they do it well, bro. It was so.
Do you know, like, they're eating the saag paneer and stuff? I'm like, we don't even get paneer that tastes like this back at home, or the flavors of the saag. Honestly, it's been great. And we had like a dal makhani the other day. We don't get food like that back at home.
Can I just give you some breaking paneer news as well?
Yeah, please.
Tesco have got a new paneer brand in stock. It's called Auntie's.
Really?
Auntie's paneer. And on the side it says, don't tell the uncles. It is banging paneer.
It's can I be honest? How good can paneer really be?
They got two types. They got the plain white paneer, but then they've got a masala type paneer, which has already got the cumin. It's got cumin, chili, and haldi in it already. So it's yellowy texture. I cooked with that. It's incredible.
Auntie's paneer. I don't want to know where that milk came from.
Yeah, where did she churn that one out of?
That's why it says on the side, don't tell uncle. But have a look if you fancy.
Because he milked her, mate.
My God. But yeah, check it out. It's a good one.
Nobody can.
That's it.
Nobody can now that Satya said that.
It's called All the Aunties. Sorry, it's called All the Aunties because I think it's 4 aunties involved in it.
Oh, okay. You know what? I'd love to know that there were just 4 of them that got together, started making their kitchen.
Yeah, there's a story about the 4 aunties who basically got together, and that's how it is. It's handcrafted by a female-founded family business. 100% British milk.
Nice.
It's beautiful. It is really nice paneer.
See, brilliant. I wasn't hungry. Now I'm hungry. Well done, boys.
Yeah. But anyway, over to things we've watched.
Yes.
Oh, I haven't, but I'm very much looking forward to the new Leonardo DiCaprio film, which is now out as of last weekend, which is One Battle After Another.
Yeah, I'm going.
Is that what it's called?
A couple of days' time.
Or one problem after another, one battle after another.
What's it about? Like,
you know what, bro? This is what I was going to say. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's a Leonardo DiCaprio film called One Battle After Another. I'm in. It ain't gonna be a rom-com. It's gonna be wham bam. It's gonna get you going.
It's action. It's intense. I think it looks brilliant. And for me, I just go by like you said, Tommy. It's Leonardo DiCaprio. I've seen a little bit of the trailer. I'm in. I'm in. I'm yeah. absolutely in for that.
So, are you going to go watch it?
Yeah, going to see that one definitely in the next couple Lovely. Of days. I just think it looks brilliant.
It's funny you say that because, you know, when I got onto the plane and like the first film that popped up on my screen, because, you know, like Emirates have all the new ones. And I was like, straight away, I was just like, that is what I'm going to watch. Like, I had no idea. And it was the new Mission Impossible, only because, you know, like what you're going to get with that. But I tell you what, it didn't hit the spot.
Oh, did it not? That's a shame. Crap.
I think Ked said that he went to watch it in the cinema and
It was so poor.
Do you know what it is? All of them are such good films. All of them that have been so far, and this one just didn't.
Agreed.
It just didn't hit. Yeah, it wasn't up there.
Like, it was the okay. last one. The last one, and I was really expecting, because the one before it, which I think was Ghost Nation or whatever, that was so good. So good. The stunts and the training and everything.
Brilliant.
Stunts were this was like,
rubbish.
If they thought, you know what, this was like, Karan Johar has decided to direct this one. He's put Shah Rukh Khan in the main acting, and what should we do? Something silly, like a silly stunt, and that whole water swimming thing. How has he come, Satch? How has he managed to swim 60 million feet from under the water where they big it all up that the water pressure gets so intense and he's in a stew and he can't come out? He comes out on Nanga Panga and comes right to the top and he's still living.
He lives, do you know what? It gave me Fast and Furious vibes.
Oh, really? No.
Yeah, because you know when like the aeroplane was on the runway
and he just got kissed by some girl and then he was fine.
Yeah, it was just too much. But it's funny you mentioned them. It's funny you mentioned Karan Johar and Shah Rukh Khan, because there's something I watched on Netflix that I'm telling you the whole bloody world is watching, and it's called The Bastards of Bollywood.
Yeah,
heard about it?
I have indeed. Or as a lot of people on radio are referring to it as the Bads of Bollywood.
The what?
Well, that's.
The Bads, because they've obviously got the you know, they've got the star, the middle letters, asterisks. So basically, what do you call it? It's they're all they can.
They've had to edit it down. Yeah, Bads. Yeah. Right.
So yeah, but the actual show is called The Bastards of Bollywood.
Recommend it.
I got here on the first day when I got here from London. My sister-in-law was talking about it, and she goes, "Have you seen this?" I was like, "No." And I was like, go on, slap it on, because I've got nothing better to do while I'm here in the evening. We put it on. And the first episode, I was like, what is this shit that we're watching?
Can I just say, I've seen like a little bit of a trailer for it. It looks so rubbish. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
And then I thought, no, do you know what? You know, me always gets blamed for not
carrying on stuff. Satch loves a little Desi series.
So I thought, no, but Kej, you know I wouldn't like this one because it's very Bollywood. It's very Bollywood. So I thought, cool, I'm going to watch it. Put it on. It got better. I think some of the new actors in it are good, but it was just, do you know, it's just time pass.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I liked in it more than anything. I think the music was good in it. There's some songs in it that I'm like, they're actually really good songs. But it was, you know, Shah Rukh Khan, obviously being your dad, is his son that produced this thing. He's got everyone, like Shah Rukh's in it, Ranveer's in it, Karan's in it. Who's the main other actor in it? Is Bobby Deol. What's his brother's name? No, yeah, Bobby Deol. He's in
Bobby.
It.
Bobby. Sonny.
Literally everyone from Bollywood's in it. And you can just tell that Shah Rukh said, can you be in this for 5 minutes? Do you know what I mean? And everyone had a little cameo.
Well, I'll tell you what. So, I mean, obviously, there's people who watch this kind of stuff. So fair play. And the other thing I'm watching, I think I mentioned it, Black Rabbit. It's on Netflix. It's got Jason Bateman in it. It's directed by the female woman who's in Ozark, Laura Linney. It's brilliant. Yeah. It's got Jude Law in it as well. It's a great watch.
I need to see that. I will.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good story. Things we learn. Who's going first?
Okay, I've got a couple of things. I'll let you go first. I'm gonna look at my little list of things I learned.
My one is a good one, actually. My one is about the origins of Worcester sauce.
I know this one, Kej. I read it the other day. Go on, let's hear it.
Did you?
Let me just quickly say this, Kej. I bottled out of doing that one because it's quite complex. I'll let you do it. Go.
Okay, well, because basically... The origins of the Worcester sauce. Apparently, it was an Indian recipe. There was a man, a Gora, who came back from India whilst serving in the army and all of that. And then he'd come back with this recipe that was given to him by a local Indian. for some very interesting sauce that he used to have while he was out there. And apparently it was involved anchovies in some sort of form. So he went. So when he came back to the UK, he went to this local chemist in Worcester. And guess what this chemist is called? Lee and Perrins. And they were just the family chemist. So he went up to them and he goes, can you make this for me, please? I've got this recipe from India. They follow the recipe. They put it in a barrel and apparently it tastes disgusting, right? It's not that nice. And anyway, so the guy then, he just goes, well, it's weird that, you know, I've been given this recipe. They've left it in a barrel. Anyway, the guy who's made it then dies. They unearth it about 10 years later. And obviously it's fermented and whatever. And all of a sudden, it just tastes so much better after it's been stored in the cellar for that long. And
look, by the way, you don't like it, do you?
No.
No, because you just went, it tastes so much better. You didn't say it tastes nice, but people were going, it's delicious.
Oh, no. I don't mind Worcester sauce. I'm just saying, apparently it tastes so much better. Yeah. And this is when they said, oh my God, this tastes delicious. And obviously Lee and Perrins were the people who were there who made it. And then they sort of jumped on the bandwagon, nicked something else from India and made it their own. And that is the origins of Worcester sauce. Probably had anchovies. It probably had tamarind in it, you know, HP sauce, you know, and all of these kind of things. The origins we know are from India. But there we go. Who would have thought Worcester sauce was Indian?
Yeah, okay. I'm gonna link to that then, because Worcester sauce looks a bit like soy sauce. You'd have soy sauce with sushi. And my thing that I learned is that, you know, you get those little ginger slices with your sushi. You ever get a little packet which has got ginger slices in it? You seen it?
Yeah, shreds of it. Right? Love it.
Yep.
Well, how do you have it? How do you have that ginger slice? What do? You put it on top or...?
I put one on every bit of sushi.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm quite meticulous like that.
Yeah, okay. Wrong. You're having it wrong.
Oh.
Oh.
Go on.
What are you meant to do?
The ginger is an actual palate cleanser between sushi bites. So you're supposed to have the sushi with the soy sauce or wasabi or whatever you're going to have it with. Yeah. Eat that. In between, have a bit of ginger. Clean your palate. Go again. So the ginger of sushi is designed to clean your palate between bites. I didn't know that. I think we should know that. Seeing as we give people a hard time about eating mango chutney with samosa, I think it's only right that we know that.
Yeah, we've done the equivalent of a mango chutney manoeuvre.
Yeah, you went, oh yeah, smother it all on top, dip it in a sweet and sour, sweet chili.
Mango chutney the sushi, mate.
Real Chinese people will hate us. They'd hate us. But go on. Okay, what you got, Satch?
The thing that I learnt was, a quick and easy one, men will spend almost a year of their entire life staring at women. A year of our entire... Get your head around that. On average, how long? 70-something? And a year of that, one whole year.
It's not a lot, is it?
It's not.
It's not a lot.
Okay, ask yourself this. How much time will women spend staring at men?
I think they probably do as well. Like, we can't.
No, they do stare, but the way society is designed, they can't stare at a bloke for long enough. Otherwise, you know, they're putting themselves in danger.
Yeah, of some idiot. Okay. Yeah. What race of men are the worst starers at women?
No, we can't say that. We can't say that.
No, because it's our.
I think it's. I think it's different in different countries. I mean, in Paris, in France, men just stare at you regardless. Even if you clock them staring at you, they'll carry on doing it.
Yeah, because they look at all hot women. So they probably just think, because of your frame, they just think, hello.
No, but look, back in India, people just stare at you as well. Not even if you're a woman. They'll stare at us if we were there. Yeah. They'd stare at us.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's because we're wearing shorts in India, that's why.
Yeah, and I'm bald. They laughed at me for being bald in India. So, okay, so that's good. A year. Because you get the stats about how long we spend on the toilet, how long we spend in queues. That's a good one. I said, hey, it's a good one for the end of year podcast, which is exactly where this is going to end up. And actually, one thing I remember that we have to mention is our, we got a message from a member of the Bharat Army. So I'm gonna leave the podcast on this note, because I think this is really, really quite lovely. There's a guy who worked with the Bharat Army. His name's Akshay. We know him very well. He's come to all the live podcasts. Him and his Mrs. Jasmine have been to a few comedy shows, and even I think Jasmine's been to a live podcast as well. But they had a baby girl a few weeks ago now.
Congrats.
Hey. Congrats to them, Akshay and Jasmine, a little baby. And he wrote me a message. And this is what I shared it with you guys in the week. So I'm trying to share it with the listeners because I think this is just the best. He goes, Tommy, I didn't think your voice would be the one that my wife chooses to listen to before giving birth. She was feeling a little bit anxious. And so to calm herself down, she listened to a repeat of the Brown Load to relax her, which I thought was both hilarious and beautiful at the same time. Keep doing what you're doing, and I hope the live podcast went well. Ain't that nice? Look at that. His Lovely. Little baby comes into the world, and the first voices, the first uncles that little baby girl hears is us three. Is there a Brown Load uncles?
Brilliant.
So welcome to the world, you. I think that's amazing. I think that says everything. A little bit of company and congratulations to you lot. So yes. So please keep spreading the good word about the podcast. There are still people that don't know that we do it. So go tell your friends all about it. Nice one, boys. Thank you very much.
Nice one.
Until next week. Laters.
Laters.
Laters.